There you go, page 135. So, first one is, as listed in 2 Timothy 3:16, what are the four areas that are vital for Christians who want to build their life upon a foundation of truth? Anybody know those answers? That's right. So, like I said, today, if you go through and have the opportunity to disciple somebody, then this is stuff you'll go over with them. You'll spend a few minutes at the beginning, you know, kind of chit-chatting and just seeing how their week went and things like that. And then go over these questions, make sure, number one, that they're doing them. But also, there's some questions in here that is just people give different answers. Not all of them are found exactly in the textbook that way. So it gives you an idea of what they're learning and how they're experiencing and growing when they're going through this course with you. What are some ways you can include the Bible in your routine? Read it daily. That's a good thing.
Set a time.
Set a time. Anybody else?
Memorize it.
Anybody besides Miss Carol? Seems like she's the only one that wants to talk, or she's the only one that did it. What'd you say?
Meditate
on it. So that's, you know, read it, hear it, meditate it, memorize it. So, but what do we do that for practically? How do we do that? So, you know, you set a time, apply it to our lives. So if you do it practically, you know, if you're going to say, hey, I'm going to memorize scripture, you know, if you say, okay, I'm going to do that. Well, if you don't set a goal of saying, I'm going to do one a week or one a month, one a year, you know what's going to happen? You're just not going to do it. So if we went back and said before this started, how many verses did you memorize last year? Probably a lot of us would say, not very many. It's because we didn't have a course, or we did not have a certain thing. I know some people memorize more than others and easier than others, but I think you should pray and ask the Lord to lay it upon your heart what exactly he wants you to do. He obviously says meditating it and memorizing are important. Okay, so what is God's plan for our transformation as Christians? What is God's plan for our transformation as Christians? Anybody? Okay, that's good. Be a light. We should grow. So transforming our lives from the inside out. The book, how they put it, is that as our minds are renewed or meditating by the truths of the Word of God, those truths would then impact our actions and change our lives, which means being a light, being like Christ. So what are three ways the Bible can transform your life? So Ms. Rochelle is saying understanding it, obeying, and continuing it. Like it said in the lesson, Mr. Humbert was saying by reading it, obeying it, memorizing it, those are both good and they both apply there. What's the result of obeying the Bible? There's lots of different results. Anybody got a thought? What? Growth?
Peace?
Peace? God? Becoming more like Christ. Others should see Christ-like maturity. Maybe blessings from God. You know, God blesses us when we use his word. You say, where do you see that at? Well, that's what we talk about in Joshua 1. You know, that we're going to prosper. And it doesn't always mean what the world says prosper. There's a lot of difference and a lot more things important in this world than money and things. Why should you continue reading the Bible? Instruction. And it helps you grow. Anybody else? We're commanded to what?
Guidance.
That's good. You know, we need it for direction and guidance, and he will transform us. Okay, what can help you meditate on God's words? I don't know if there was
memorizing it.
No, there was a specific answer in the lessons, but there was one in the devotions I kind of liked. So number one, the Holy Spirit can help us because we need his guidance, that's for sure. Another thing is clearing out other things in our lives helps us meditate it. I don't know if you remember the one devotion that I really liked. was talking about junk food and how when you eat junk food before dinner, you're not going to be very much interested in the main course or the real stuff. And if we're filled up with the junk of this world, we're not going to have time to meditate on God's word because we're meditating on things we're worried about or hobbies. And there's things that we shouldn't be thinking on, obviously, but there are things that will take up our time if we allow it. So that's one thing I think if we can clear out our thought process there. So let's head over to the Holy Spirit's chapter. Anybody like to share what it says? What truth or principles stood out to you most in last week's study or devotional readings? Like I said, for me, it was, if I have so many other things on my mind, I'm not going to be thinking about God and His Word. Anybody? And that's the first. I know you're not supposed to write that out. It's the review part. What truth or principles stood out to you most in last week's study? Anybody like to share? That's good.
Just do it.
Miss Carol's buying Nike stuff. Nike logo slogan, right? Just do it. So those are some things. So that's kind of how you talk to the people when you sit down with them. You look at the second thing since we met last. Have you had an opportunity to apply or share the truth from this previous study? The first week they're going to say, no, that's the craziest thing to do. But when you ask that each and every week and show an opportunity how you applied and how you showed it to somebody, it might help them understand that we don't just learn to keep it inside us. We learn to be able to share with others in the right way. Do you have any questions related to last week's devotional readings or assignment? So let's head right into our lesson today. Our introduction: at the moment of your salvation, God Himself came to live within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, we also get sealed. Mr. Chambers, can I have one of those papers? I need one of those papers also, please. But what does that mean for your life? We talk about that, but how do we make that applicable? And how do we make the person across the table from you understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and who He is and who He's supposed to be in your life? I think sometimes people don't like talking about the Holy Spirit because some different other denominations have taken and made Him crazy or made you feel like it's all about emotions. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and it is important in your Christian life. He leads you, He guides you, and it's amazing to learn what the Holy Spirit actually does for you. How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? Is it a mysterious and mystical, or is it real and practical? And in this study, we will see how the Holy Spirit works in your life, how you can cooperate with Him, and what the result of His work will be. And so the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. And the thing is that Jesus Christ was here, and He begins telling the disciples about this Comforter that was coming in John chapter 14. Shortly before He was crucified, He was on His way to the cross, but He was telling them that He was going to lead them, and the Holy Spirit was going to take His place in their lives. So it's amazing to think about it. Could you imagine anything better than being with Jesus? And sometimes we think about that. Wouldn't it be great to be there and watch Him and hear Him and listen to Him and those physical things? And that's true. But we have something that's even greater in the fact that it's a different Comforter in the Holy Spirit that's with us all the time. When Jesus was in one spot, He couldn't be with somebody else that was over in another spot because He was limited in His flesh, because He took upon flesh. But the Holy Spirit is with all of us that are believers all the time. We can speak to Him, we can talk to Him, we can ask for wisdom and guidance all the time. John 14:16, Jesus put it this way, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Jesus was a Comforter to them. He was an encouragement to them. But He's saying, "I'm going to give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." As we saw in Lessons 2, the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity, and as we saw in Lesson 4, the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. From that point on, he begins ministering to our hearts in tender and significant ways. The first blank is comforter. Comforter, if you don't have it written out already, is comforter. He is the divine comforter. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the comforter four times in his discussions with his disciples before his crucifixion. Remember, he is heading to the cross here. And heading to the cross, he sees in their hearts, he sees their mind, he sees the worry, he sees the concerns, he sees the questions. You know, he's leaving, we've given up our lives, we've been ostracized in society, our families maybe have turned their backs on us and things like that. What's going to happen to us? And he says, we got somebody that's coming to help you. And so anytime we have struggles and trials in our lives, remember there is the Holy Spirit of God that's there with us. It's by faith. We see him who is invisible. We say, well, I don't see him. If you allow him, he will speak and work in your heart and mind. John 14:16, we already read. John 14:26. And you can look here in your Bibles. That's why I had you open up to the book of John. Look in John 14, verse number 26. The Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So that's John 14:26. So in this, you know, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's a comforter. He teaches us all things, and he brings things to remembrance. I know there's times when I am struggling and I am worried, or if I'm hurting with something, that God will bring things to my heart, bring things to my remembrance, and he will cause things to tie in that will give you peace, and it will be a comfort. Sometimes when my wife worries or when I worry one another, we comfort one another, remind them, you know, God helped us here and God did this. Remember when this turned out to be good, that's a remembrance. And this is what the Holy Spirit does for us, especially when we have put the word of God in our heart. John 15:26, which is the next page over probably for you. "But when the Comfort is come, whom I will send unto you, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from me, from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then you got John 16:70, talks about it again. "But because I have said these things," John 16:6, start off there. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient," saying, "it is best for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So Jesus is saying, here's your comparison. You have me that's with you a portion of time, or the Holy Spirit that's with you all the time. And he's saying that's better. We would probably think, because we've never experienced Jesus in the physical flesh, Jesus would be much better. But he's saying, look, the Holy Spirit's there with you all the time. It's expedient. It's best. It's good that that I leave you. Christians deal with heartaches and trials just as unbelievers do. Sometimes Christians even have additional trouble because they are Christians, which we know that to be true. It's a common experience when these first century Christians, these disciples, were going to face death. They were going to face tremendous persecution, put in jail. He says, you know, this is going to happen. Yet the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. He reminds us of God's promises and assures us by his very presence in our lives that God has not left us alone. So it's important to get that and understand that the Holy Spirit is a person who's comforting you. If you feel that comfort, that's the Holy Spirit of God that does that. Next thing is, not only does he comfort us, and your next blank is truth. He guides you to truth. Without the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life, we would be left to navigate our way through life's daily decisions and concerns on our own. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, however, he will often bring scriptures and biblical principles to mind that speak to the needs of our lives. So this is important because, you know, the Word of God here, he leads and derives us to truth. How many of us know people who think differently, who are Bible believers, but they think differently than we do? It's because if we leave it to ourselves, we're going to try to figure out what we think is right and what we think is best. That's why you need to depend upon the Holy Spirit. We were out knocking doors yesterday. I walked up to a house, and there was a guy sitting in the car. No one was living at the house. It was for sale, and I invited him out to church. And he asked me the question. He says, "Are you fishing or are you planting?" And I kind of understood. He was talking about, am I fishing for souls or am I planting a seed? And so I thought he was a Christian, so I talked to him for a few minutes. I asked him where he went to church at. He said he doesn't go to church. He said he's been going to a Bible study for about 8 years. And then he said, a Bible study. And I says, is that like church? He said, no, we study the Bible in depth. And then he said, so how long has that been going on? And he said, for 20 years. And so, to me, it was a little confusing. There was a small group, about 6 to 8 people that were doing that. And I understand, why they didn't want to call it church. I don't know, maybe they didn't have a pastor. Maybe they didn't have much outreach. I don't know all the differences in it. But the Holy Spirit of God kind of spoke to my heart and thinking, that's not really the way that it's planned to be. And so I know that maybe the modern day church age has messed up in a lot of areas and a lot of ways, but we have to have faith and trust in the structure that God has called us, set out of believers. And if that 6 to 8 people are there, they are a church. But they didn't want to call it that. I didn't want to get into a long discussion with him. He did profess to be a Christian, so I was invited him out to our Easter program and kept on going. But he guides us to truth. And his mindset, this thought process is something, this is how I believe. And there's different people that have different opinions and different reasons and this and that. And they can show you from the Bible why they think there's right. There's people who might disagree with me about certain topics. And that's something that we rely on the Holy Spirit to bring us to the part of the truth. We let him lead us. He let him guide us. And not probably everybody's going to agree on every single principle about every little thing. People have different opinions. One is right, one is wrong. Someday we'll understand some things when we get to heaven. But that's why the Holy Spirit of God is so important. It's not just because I say it or someone you respect says it. It's something that you know because the Holy Spirit of God has guided you to this truth. You look up scriptures. And that's what you saw earlier. We read John 14:26. Look again in John chapter 16, look at verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So it's important that the people understand, that person across the table from me, he's going to comfort you. He's going to be the one that teaches you the Bible. He's going to be the one that teaches you the Word of God. When you're sitting down there with them, these truths that are here, the reading that you're doing, the verses that you're learning, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's applying that to your life and whether or not you're going to be obedient to that. Part of his work is guiding us to help us understand the Bible. Remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. So when you are confused about what the Bible means, remember to ask the author who is within you to help you as you study. You ever read a good book and then you get to a certain spot and you say, man, I wish I could ask the author there. I'm confused about what that chapter was for or what that paragraph was about. I like to understand where he came to a conclusion with. We have the Holy Spirit of God who helped inspire the Word of God. So your next blank is service. Service. He strengthens you for service. In lesson 10, you will discover the Holy Spirit has specifically and supernaturally equipped every believer to serve in the local church. But even with his equipping, we sometimes grow weary and faint. The Holy Spirit renews our hope and gives us energy from within. On your piece of paper, you have these verses that are written out here. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So he's the one through his power and through his strength is how we do service for God. Now, there are people who do it in their own flesh, but that does not accomplish things spiritually. That might accomplish things that are good. That might accomplish things that are in the community. There are a lot of people doing a lot of nice things, but it counts as to accomplish things spiritually. The Holy Spirit gives us that strength. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So we need him to strengthen us with his might. Your next blank is witness. He empowers your witness. He empowers your witness. One of the earliest desires of a new Christian is to share the good news of salvation with others. But you cannot convince others by your own cleverness or persuasion to trust Jesus as their Savior. The Holy Spirit uses your witness, telling others what Jesus did for you, and convicts those whom you talk to of their need for him. So it's the Holy Spirit of God who ministers to our hearts and gives us the word and gives us a witness to say. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They were not going to have the power to be the witness that God wanted them to be until the Holy Spirit was upon them. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so was also the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them that obey him. Every day the Holy Spirit is with you to minister to your heart in ways you may not even be aware of. As you learn to recognize, to rely on his work in your life, you will see how needful it is and learn to depend on it as you grow in your Christian life. It's important. The Holy Spirit, God gives us that ability to be a witness. Sometimes we like to pick and choose who we want to be a witness to. And I was telling the guys that were on visitation yesterday, I let the Holy Spirit lead and guide who I'm going to talk to and who I'm going to give a presentation of the gospel to or who I'm not going to. I let God lead that and God guide that and the Holy Spirit to empower me. There was a guy yesterday who we went to his house. He had this couple little statues in his front thing, and it said the word evil on it and had like some like skulls and this and that. So I didn't know who in the world I was going to talk to, you know, what he was going to say. And then I knock on the door and these dogs start going crazy. And you know, that's always fun. I know Miss Martha likes her dogs, right, Miss Martha? So now these big dogs come to the door and this guy can't control them. They keep on jumping up against the windows and keep on jumping up against the screen door. So I've disrupted his whole entire morning. There's this guy, and you know, when he hears that we're from church and we're going to invite, he's not going to stop and listen to me give a plan of salvation. But I said, hey, I'm going to leave the stuff in the door. I'm sorry that I disrupted you. And, you know, we just kept on going on. And I know some people I've been with, you know, they have a certain routine, a certain set things they have to say, and they have it scripted, and they don't have things that they don't leave the Holy Spirit God anything, that they would sit there and keep on trying to talk to him while this dog's trying to kill you through the door. He's sitting there holding the dog one, keeping the other one back, and he's like, what do you want? That's not probably the best time, you know. So if you could send him something in the mail, you can go back at another time, you know, when he's asking for a different time. So you got to be careful that the Holy Spirit of God is one that gives you, empowers you to witness. Let him lead you and guide you on what to say and what not to say. Not every single person needs to hear the exact same thing. They don't. Certain things that will work for, I mean, obviously they all need to read the Bible. But there, I don't know, when I've been talking to people, sometimes scripture comes to my mind and I give that scripture. And I it's because God knows what that person needs. God knows exactly what that person needs to hear. We're going to look about the rich young ruler for a minute or two today in the Sunday morning service. You know, he was so worked up about his good works. And Jesus said to him, you know, if you excel all you did and follow after me, then you'll be able to have eternal life. But he knew that he was going to reject that. Jesus wasn't saying that you're going to be saved by your works. He was showing them, hey, look, you have a need. You don't think you have any needs. You thought you kept this law, and you kept this law, and you kept this law, and you kept this law. You kept all these things, but you thought you were good enough. But here, you forgot about this. And we all have a need, but some of them are different. There are certain things that will talk to people, help people understand. Some people believe that God created the heaven and the earth. There are other people who don't believe that. And if you go through creation and show them that, that will open their eyes that there is a God and that there is a need for that. But some people already believe that. Well, then you go and you show them, you know, as believing that, the Bible's true. What about this, this, and this? You need the Holy Spirit as God's help when you're witnessing and being a God. Now, I think a set pattern is good, especially for new people that are trying to do it. And it reminds everybody the importance, things that people need to know and understand. But it's important to let the Holy Spirit of God do the work when they're witnessing. Even when you look at the Bible, there's different things. You know, when that man came to Jesus, I mean, followed Paul's feet saying, what must I do to be saved? You know, Paul didn't go through a long spiel about it. He says, believe. And so it's important that you let the Holy Spirit of God help you with that. Let's keep on going. Your next blank is impossible. Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life work. That's what actually makes it work. Have you ever considered how impossible the Christian life is? Truthfully, trying harder to be better on in your own strength and an exercise is futility. But the Holy Spirit empowers change in our lives from the inside out. Let's see how God designed this to work. Your next blank was inside. You ever tried to stop doing something on your own strength? Sometimes you can be disciplined and sometimes it can work, but more than likely, especially when it deals with spiritual matters, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You need to go back and say, okay, this is my problem. I have a struggle over here. It is a heart issue. It is an issue about not being surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I need to change the inside first, and then the outside will come with me. If you're struggling with tonight, we're going to be preaching and talking a little bit about clearing up the things of your world so you can be focused on God. Talking in Hebrews chapter 11 about how they desire a better country. If they had been mindful of that other country, they would have never done what God called them to do. But they had to leave the things of that world behind to have that clear focus. Sort of like what we talked about, the junk food. There had to be a clear focus here. You know, if we want to be clearly focused on clearing out the things of our life that is clouding up our lives, the Holy Spirit of God's got to be the one that helps get rid of those things. If not, you're going to convince yourself there's nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that when temptation comes. But the Holy Spirit of God can help you get over those things. Let's keep on going. Scripture instructs us to be filled. Your next blank is filled with the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit is not to be confused with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. As we've already seen, when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit began to dwell in us permanently. We each have the Holy Spirit of God in us, but we all know of Christians who do not act like Christians sometimes and that they lose control, and that's what they're talking about, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The next blank is control. Control. But now he desires to fill us up to control our actions and reactions. So he wants to fill us up. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, I didn't put it on there, sorry about that, but and be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So what the Bible's saying here is that just like a man who is drunk with wine, the wine controls him, the strong drink controls him, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're filled with something, you're not going to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you're filled up with things of this world, he's not going to have control. The verse gives a picture of a person who is drunk. The person is not in control of themselves. They are under the influence of another substance. Even so, the Holy Spirit wants us to daily yield to him so that we obey and allow him to control us. I told you before, when I was in Bible college, I worked midnight shift from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. For people, and I tell you, some of the nicest people on the way to work on Friday or Saturday nights at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, they would come in drunk and they would be the meanest people in the world. It's just because something else was controlling them. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to lead. You want to explain to him, when you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, when he's controlling you, you're going to be something that you're not even used to. That's when, you know, you see a change that's brought into a person's life. What happened to you? The Holy Spirit of God did the work. Scripture instructs us to walk in, as your next blank, walk in the Spirit. Growth in the Christian life takes place in the daily choices as day by day. We make the decisions to walk in the Spirit. Look what it says in Galatians 5:16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's the things here is walking in the Spirit is an important thing to get to understand that if we're walking the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We choose daily what we want to do. Growth in the Christian life takes place in daily choices. As day by day, we make the decision to walk in the Spirit. That's when you tell somebody, hey, you're not going to become super Christian by just one day. It is a daily walking and making a choice to be yielding to the Holy Spirit of God and saying no to the flesh. This is a matter of saying no to our fleshly impulses and saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Next thing, next page, the word is sin. Sin. Scripture warns us not to sin against the Spirit. Christians are grieved, and Christians can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit in their lives. Grieving the Holy Spirit, so your next blank is grieving. Grieving the Holy Spirit takes place when we willfully sin, even when he convicts our hearts that we are doing wrong. You see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So when you get these scriptures here, if you have those things in your life, he's saying you're grieving him. You need to get rid of those things in your life. Well, how do you do that? You surrender more over to God. Quenching the Holy Spirit of God takes place when we continually ignore and resist his promptings. When we do this, after a time, we will cease to hear his voice. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. There is nothing more frustrating than trying to live the Christian life in human strength. But God never asks us to do that. Instead, he comes alongside to guide us, invites us to surrender to him, and fill us with the power to live godly lives. So these are important to understand. We can actually grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of his transformation in your life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and this is your memory verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The incredible blessing of the Spirit-filled life is that as the Holy Spirit transforms your life from the inside, it begins to show some very specific ways on the outside. His work shows up in many ways that are referenced throughout the New Testament. And so you have here the Holy Spirit produces love, the Holy Spirit produces joy, the Holy Spirit produces peace, the Holy Spirit produces long-suffering. Long-suffering is the ability to suffer long with other people or situations. It is patience and endurance. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. The Holy Spirit produces goodness. The Holy Spirit produces faith. The Holy Spirit produces meekness. The Holy Spirit produces temperance. On your back of your page, I have all those things that are there with you. I'm going to leave you to read those scriptures on your own because time is drawing nigh. But I guess a couple of thoughts here. Some people would say, and different things work for different people. Some people are really lovey-dovey. Some people are really joyful. Some people have great peace. Some people are patient. And some people are gentle. Some people are good. Some people do have faith. Some people are meek. Some people are temperate. But not everybody has all those things. So if you're struggling in these areas, and you can even talk to the people and show them, hey, one of the areas I struggle at is this. And one of the areas I don't do very well with is this. And I have to look at my life and look inside my heart. What am I doing to grieve the Holy Spirit of God to cause him to get this? Because if he lives in me and he has these qualities can come through in my life. Even I've seen some of the hardest and toughest men I know can be gentle and kind if they're a believer and they know God. Some of the most, quote, unquote, manly men, and they can still have a gentle side because of the fact that the Holy Spirit God leads them and directs them. So if there's areas here that you struggle with, then we need to look inside and ask the Holy Spirit to help us in these areas, because if he lives in you, they're inside of you. If these things are inside of you and you have the opportunity to have these things coming out in your life. I know you read some of those lists and some of those things seem like it's almost impossible to achieve being a loving person, having joy, having peace. But he says, if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, these are qualities, as we give him control, these are qualities that will produce out of our lives. These are evidences in your life. You should be a joyful person. You should be a person who has peace. Is it going to be that way all the time? No, there are going to be times when we have to go to God even in a greater way and depend more on him and learn these things. This is a goal that we're trying to reach. Becoming like Christ is not going to happen overnight. These are scenarios that show us, hey, I'm still not there. When I lose my patience, I'm not there. I need to work on that. When I don't have peace and when I am not believing and having faith, you know, when I don't have temperance and when I don't have meekness. Let's go to page 145 and we'll go. And if you don't have your blanks filled out, I know I went through this really quick. This on this back sheet of the paper, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You're just going to have to do that later. On page 145, you got three more blanks. It's the first one is definite. Make a definite commitment to yield every part of your life to him. Whatever it is. Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I know you're God. I believe you. I put my trust in you. I know you know what's best for me. I'm going to yield myself to him. Next thing is daily reaffirm your commitment to yield to him. Put it on your prayer list. God, I remember on this day, I gave myself to you. And daily I'm going to pray, Lord, help me with this. Help me to not care about self, but help me to reaffirm this daily. I want to yield myself to you. And there's verses that can help you with that. Next thing is specifically ask. Your next blank is ask. Specifically ask the Holy Spirit to develop the areas in your life that you're lacking. Look again at the list of the fruit of the Spirit. What do you see lacking in your life? Ask the Holy Spirit to develop that in you and be attentive to that the means he uses. Perhaps messages in church or conversations with Christian friends. Perhaps begin a Bible study on that topic of Christian growth. Ask your mentor to help you get started. So you could, like I said, ask your wife or husband, if they are, especially if they're godly individuals, what areas am I struggling in? And when somebody asks me, hey, what's wrong with me? Can you tell me what's wrong with me? I just take them to this list and says, is there an area here that you struggle with? Because most people will find something, yeah, I need to do better at that. And then they start yielding themselves to God. What is it causing this? And how can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? You're trying to help that person to become more like Christ. You're not just going through a Bible study to just do a Bible study. You want to transfer the knowledge you have and how God has helped you to a young Christian to institute them to become a Christian that is faithful and a Christian that wants to serve God. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we look at this lesson, and it reminds many of us, I know it reminds me in such a great way, how much I need to yield myself to you. There's so many areas that we could be better at, and I know I could be better at. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to understand that we need to obey it, your word, and apply it to our lives through the Holy Spirit's help. Help us not to be reasoning in our own flesh and our own mind, but instead look to you for leadership and guidance in your word. Lord, those fruits of the Spirit are things that I want to allow you to produce in my life. And Lord, I pray that we have a church that's filled with people, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and that's producing the fruits of the Spirit, and that we don't be ones that struggle with those works of the flesh, like the clamor and the bitterness and the anger. Lord, I pray you help us today. Help our service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.